Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask or even imagine. Amen. Today is Super Bowl Sunday, people. A reaction to this statement might engender different categories of responses. For instance, some of you are looking forward to the kickoff and sharing your excitement at a Super Bowl party. Some of you are aware that it is Super Bowl Sunday, could care less, and have other plans. And some of you may not be aware that it's Super Bowl Sunday, don't know what ball is used for the sport, and will continue to live in this world just fine. Well, I am aware it is Super Bowl Sunday. In fact, I know which teams are playing. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the Green Bay Packers, and the green is not for the Green Bay Packers. I fall into the category of awareness, but not investment. My awareness of the sport includes that professional teams are comprised of large, powerful, and highly competitive men. I'm also aware that college football players can be large and intimidating, too. Many years ago, I attended 4 weeks of workshops at Notre Dame University. One day, as I was making my way to the cafeteria, the Notre Dame football team arrived at the same time. I became engulfed in a forest of large bodies with big necks, each holding two trays as they began to make their way down the cafeteria line. I felt very small. I felt even smaller as I held my one tray and looked for a salad. I looked up and saw football players looking over my head for the beef. I extricated myself from the hungry mob, left the cafeteria, and wandered over to the snack bar. Now, what do large, intimidating football players have to do with today's readings? Well, football players are coached into believing that they are special. Their team can beat any team on any given day, and that they should look menacing and larger than life. In other words, they are coached to believe that they are more than they think they are. And Jesus is actually delivering that same message in today's gospel. He wanted his followers to believe that they were more than they thought they were. When Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world," Jesus was coaching them into believing a new way of being in the world. Last week, the gospel was based on the transforming principles of the Beatitudes. Today, we learn how to act on the team of Jesus Christ. Jesus used two metaphors, that of salt and that of light, to describe how his followers were to act in the world. Feelings of inadequacy, though, may surface. And even Paul acknowledges for himself in today's second reading, "And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." But Paul knows why we can be more than we think we are when he states, "We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is from God." So Jesus wasn't asking his first followers to be large or intimidating like football players to accomplish his mission. Because throughout Scripture, we hear the opposite. The last shall be first, and the least shall be the greatest. Those are upside-down values. So to be effective players on God's team, when we receive the Spirit that is from God, when we let God bless us then calls us into action, then we become more than we think we are. When I have waited on God's guidance, then I feel the power of God in my prayer and action. When I have not, when I work just to get things done, my actions lack the power of love, the power of God, the power that heals. Jesus said, "You are. You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world." Because God is with you, because of God's grace, you can do more than you think you can do, and be more than you think you can be. Even when you feel weak, you can be strong because of God's Spirit in you. You are salt. Like salt, Jesus calls you to be distinctive, to draw out the goodness in others. Like salt, Jesus calls you to have a profound influence in your day-to-day world. Like salt, sometimes you will need to be supportive and affirming, but at other times you need to sprinkle the truth and not be silent, and maybe even be confrontational. But Jesus warned, if salt loses its taste, it is no longer good for anything. And that's the challenge. Through baptism, we have become members of the God Squad. We are meant to be a positive influence wherever we are. Yet I think we lose our saltiness when we blend into the status quo and do not stand up for Christian values. We lose our saltiness when we do not engage the Beatitudes, when we ignore an opportunity to serve, when we do not offer compassion to someone who has suffered a loss, or do not show mercy or act justly, when we are not a peacemaker and do not stand up for what we believe. Then we lose our saltiness. You are more than you think you are in any given moment. Opportunities to be salt and light, to make a difference through the power of God, happen every day. And one such opportunity happened recently. I was at the Chinese New Year's gathering sponsored by St. Teresa's Guild last weekend. During the course of the night, a parishioner accidentally spilt a glass of red wine all over my beige microfiber purse. He was profoundly apologetic. I said it was not a problem because I knew the purse was washable. The next day, Sunday, I found money in my office mail slot to replace the purse. On Monday, I washed my purse and the wine came out. I emailed the parishioner that all was well. The purse was fine, no wine. So, would he like his money back? Or put toward their parish pledge? Or could I pass on the money to another family in our parish that is financially desperate? He and his wife immediately emailed, "Give the money to our family in need." 10 minutes after their email, in walked the parishioner I had been discussing in our email exchange. I immediately walked over and passed on the money from the parishioner, and that parishioner was overwhelmed and started to cry. I emailed back how the money had been received. And they emailed back to me, "We will give that same amount for them this Sunday also." They have not lost any saltiness, and they are light. And in that moment, and in this moment now, I am aware that we are caught up in God's activity in our world. So you are more than you think you are. When you let your light shine into another's darkness. We as a family at St. Francis are more than we think we are by all the ways we serve one another and the community around us. In each Sunday bulletin and in every monthly newsletter, we list opportunities for outreach, ways to be a positive influence. As I said earlier, football players are large and intimidating. This parish is not large, and I do not experience any of our members as intimidating. But it doesn't matter how many members we have. What does matter is how each of you believes in your call to be a part of this team, because you are more than you think you are. Jesus did not call you to be large in this world. He called you to be salt and light. Yet light is elusive. You cannot grab it. Football players can make bone-crunching tackles, but you are meant to pick up someone when they have fallen. Let us live the motto of the Christopher Movement. It is better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. No matter how big or small a gesture, your actions can brighten someone's life. Now, if you put two rooms next to each other, and one room with its lights on, and the other in total darkness, and then you open the door between the two rooms, the light will always flood the dark room. The light of God is stronger than any darkness. You are the light and you are the salt. And our playbook is the living Word of God. Our coach is Jesus Christ. And when we gather as a community on a Sunday morning in word and sacrament, regard this time as being in a football huddle. So when the final hymn is played and you are leaving the church, are you ready to be sent into action by God to be salt and light? I am. Game on. Let's go for it. Amen.